Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Easter. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Larry. Love to have a chance to meet you after the service. I stand out there in the middle of the lobby, and a special treat today, I'm wearing my annual Easter tie. And so, if you want to take a selfie, nobody did after the first service, but it could be different this service. I don't know. We'll see. Really, though, really glad that you're here and really excited to open the Bible with you. You know, I've heard it said that one of the things that you should never refuse in life is a breath mint. Have you ever heard that before? If somebody offers you a breath mint, you should take it. And it doesn't matter if it's sugar or sugar-free, if it's, you know, cinnamon or ginger or spearmint or Winto green, doesn't matter. If they offer you a breath mint, then you probably ought to take it. Especially, by the way, if you're a close talker. And some of you are close talkers and you get really close to us and we keep backing up, but you keep getting closer. And so if you're a close talker, you probably ought to take the breath mint. No, I mean, it's just kind of a general truth in life, right? That nobody wants to be in close proximity with someone with bad breath. Unless, and there's a big exception. And the big exception is if your lifeless body has been pulled from a swimming pool. And if the lifeguard is hovering over you. And if that in that moment, if you have any conscious thought, and you probably don't, but if you have any conscious thought in prayer, you don't really care what that person's breath smells like, right? All you're praying for, all you're hoping for, is for them to breathe their breath of life into your lifeless lungs. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about one of the really unique things that happened on that first Easter Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. And it actually has to do with breath. It actually has to do with breathing. Jesus breathed on his disciples, and the effect, as we see it down through the centuries, has been powerful. And so what I want to do is I want to look at a passage of scripture from the Bible in the Gospel of John. John was one of Jesus' best friends. He was an eyewitness to Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And he has an amazing thing to say about that original Easter Sunday. In fact, we've printed it out for you in your worship guide. If you'd like to have that in front of you, or you can feel free to open a Bible or pull it up on your mobile device. But I want you to listen as I read from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. And I want you to listen for what the Bible says about Jesus breathing on us. Hear the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." May God bless the reading of his word. My theme for the next few minutes, if you wanted to capture all I'm going to say in a single sentence, it would be this: Jesus breathes the breath of life into us. I want us to see how Jesus breathes the breath of life into our lives and the impact that it can make. When you think about that image that I used a moment ago about the lifeguard, the person pulled out of the pool, Jesus wants to breathe his eternal, abundant, powerful breath into our lives. And so I want to talk about three differences that it makes when Jesus breathes his life into us. And because I want you to remember them, maybe later on tonight, tomorrow, or what was the sermon about? I'm trying to remember. All three start with the same letter, and it's the letter P. And because I know a lot of you guys like to guess each week, I wonder what the next one's going to be, I'll just tell you that it's not persimmons, perpendicular, persistent, or parsley. It's none of those. Okay, so you can mark those off your list. Now, before we get to these, let me just give you the setting. It is that first Easter Sunday. It's the original Easter Sunday, but Jesus' disciples did not wake up like we did singing, "Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah." No, they were in the opposite frame of mind. They were huddled fearfully behind locked doors. They were sequestered together, and they were afraid that the same fate that happened to Jesus was going to happen to them, that religious leaders were going to come and seize them as well. And it was into that environment of fear that Jesus himself somehow, with locked doors, somehow Jesus appears before his disciples. And that's when he first begins to breathe his new life into them. And so the first thing that I want you to see is that Jesus breathes his peace into us. Jesus breathes his peace into our lives. Now I'm getting this from John chapter 20, verse 19. Let's look at this little section here. It said, Jesus came and stood among them, among the disciples, and said, and here's what he said, peace be with you. Now in one sense, in Israel, in ancient times and today, that was just kind of a conventional greeting. You could go to Israel today and you could say the same thing in Hebrew, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. But I think when Jesus said, peace be with you, he wasn't just doing a conventional greeting. I think he was speaking something powerful. I want to talk about two dimensions of his peace that he breathes into our lives that are so powerful for us today. And the first is that he breathes in us a peace that overcomes our fear. I wonder how many today came in with this crushing sense of fear. Jesus offers to breathe his peace into the midst of our anxiety, our worry, our fear. I mean, to look at it in extreme case, look at the disciples. Their whole weekend, Holy Week, and especially Holy Weekend for them, has been a weekend of fear. Most traumatically, they saw their leader, their rabbi, their teacher, their Lord Jesus murdered on Friday. And with the death of Jesus, they saw their own dreams dying as well. He was the king. He was going to set up his kingdom. Now all the dreams of the kingdom are gone. And now, of course, they're afraid that they are going to have a similar fate. And then, to make it worse, now there are all these rumors happening on that Sunday. The women who followed Jesus are saying, we've seen him. Did they see a ghost? What is this? And they're saying he's alive. And their minds are so confused. And they're just dealing with this anxiety. And into that anxiety, Jesus himself appears. And Jesus himself says, peace be with you. How many of you right now need Jesus to speak that peace into your anxious heart? I was reading not too long ago about this training technique that Navy SEALs have to endure. And it's part of the underwater phase of their training. And so they're down underwater, far below the surface of the water. They got their scuba gear on. And just out of nowhere, one of their instructors will swim up behind them and will yank out the regulator, right? Yank out the mouthpiece and tie it in a knot. And what they have to do in that moment of unexpected crisis is they have to slowly, surely untie that regulator and somehow clear it and put it back in their mouths. And this particular Navy SEAL said, when that happens, everything in your mind says, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. Can you imagine? You know, I can't help but think that our enemy, the Bible says we have an enemy, his name is, he's got different names, the devil, Satan, our adversary. He swims up from behind us and he pulls out our regulator and he ties it in a double knot. And he's not trying to train us, he's trying to scare us to death. And sometimes we get so overwhelmed with fear, our hearts can only take it. But here comes Jesus swimming over to us and handing us his regulator. Jesus is breathing his peace into us. Jesus is saying, peace be with you. I don't know what anxiety, what worry, what fear you're dealing with right now, but I want to breathe my peace into you. It's a peace that overcomes our fear. It's also, though, a peace that overcomes our guilt. A peace that deals with this sense of guilt. I want you to imagine that every mistake you've ever made, everything you've ever done wrong in your whole life, each one is like a little debit, or maybe a not so little debit. It's a little invoice. It's a little bill. And over the course of your life, these debits add up. These bills, this red ink just piles up and up and up and up and up. And if you've lived a longer life like me, 56 years, that's a lot of debits to pile up. That's a lot of guilt that accumulates. And how are you going to pay God back for the debts that you have incurred? I mean, it's impossible. And yet, what happened on Good Friday? Jesus, God's Son, sinless, holy, goes to the cross, nails through his hands, nails through his feet, a spear through his side, and he says, I'll pay your debt, all of them. When you see Jesus hanging on the cross, what you see is this paid in full sign for all of your sins. So I want you to think about that. Jesus showed his wounds, he showed his hands, he showed his signs to the disciples, and he says, peace to you. And what he's saying is, peace to you, you're forgiven. All your debts, you're forgiven. Think about that. You know that test you cheated on in ninth grade and got an A minus when you should have gotten an F plus? Forgiven. He's forgiven you for it. You know that freshman year you flunked out of in college? Your parents may still be paying the debt, but as far as God is concerned, you're forgiven. Paid in full because of what Jesus has done for you. Or maybe there are chapters of your life that you flunked out of that have been even more painful. A chapter in marriage, a chapter in parenting, a chapter at work. And you live with this crushing sense of guilt. Jesus comes to you. He shows you his wounds. He shows you the price that he's paid for you. And he says, peace be with your guilty heart. You are forgiven. That's my prayer for you. I mean, whether you walked in here today with crushing anxiety or whether you walked in here today with crushing guilt, you'll walk out of here with burdens lifted because Jesus breathes his peace into us. Second thing Jesus breathes into us, I think clearly demonstrated from this text, is that Jesus breathes his power into us. You knew one of them was going to be power, didn't you? It had to be one of those P words. It had to be power. Jesus breathes his power into us. Now, as I mentioned, there's something I think that's just really unusual in this passage. It's kind of unexpected, isn't it? Because I don't think any of us would have expected that Jesus, when he appeared to his disciples, that one of the first things that he would do is that he would kind of maybe gather them in a half circle, and then he would just go... You know, you don't anticipate that. It's not something we do in ordinary life. And yet when you read the scriptures and when you read them start to finish, you find out, guess what? That's just something that God likes to do. Breathing on us, and more specifically, breathing power into us, is just something that God and Jesus like to do. It's just the way God works. God's a breather, you might say. In fact, you could go back just the second chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, just 7 verses in. We're in the Garden of Eden. God has created all these creatures in this universe, but then it says the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and get this, and breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life. And the dust, this dirt clod, became a living being. It's just what he does. It's just what God does. Now, we know reading 3 chapters into the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, that through Adam and Eve and their sin, that sin entered the garden and sin really entered the whole world. And today we live with the effects of sin and evil let loose in our world. And we see it every day. If you read the newspaper today, I'm sure you read it on the front page. It's just what we deal with. But still, God has a plan. God has a plan to continue to breathe his power into us. And so if you were to continue to read in your Bible to somewhat toward the middle, close to 2/3 in, you'd read in this book called Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet, and in chapter 37, Ezekiel has this dream, he has this vision. God has taken him out to a cemetery, and there it's like an untended cemetery, and there's just dry bones everywhere. And God tells Ezekiel to start preaching to the bones. What? Preach to the bones? Yeah, preach to the bones. And then the bones come together, but they're still lifeless. And now, then God says, preach to the breath. And the word can mean breath or it can mean spirit. Preach to the spirit. Ask for the spirit to come. And the breath of God, the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes into these dry bones and they become a rising, living army. It's just the way that God works. God breathes his spirit into us and we come to life. And so with that in mind, let's look at this verse, verse 22. And with that, after Jesus said, peace be with you, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them And he was filling them with the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, this is key. Jesus breathes his power into us. What does that mean? It means when Jesus' Spirit is active in our lives, we're able to do things that we shouldn't be able to do. We're able to do things that are really outside of our ability that we never before thought we could do. And I've seen it happen. I mean, I've seen it happen myself. I've seen it happen with others. I've talked to people before, and you know, you talk about maybe a mission trip or whatever, and they say very definitively, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to go on a mission. I'm never going to get on a plane and fly to some remote place. I need my air conditioning. I need my daily Starbucks. I need my creature comforts. I need hot water, whatever it is. I'm never going to do that. And then one day you see them and they're boarding a plane with like this instant Starbucks coffee packet in their backpack. And it's like, how'd this happen? I'll tell you how it happened. The Holy Spirit filled them with a power they didn't know was accessible to them. And now they find themselves doing something they never thought they could do. There's a pastor that I've long followed and writer. His name is Walter Wengren. And he talked about meeting with this woman one time. And this woman was unfolding her story to him, and she talked about how as a teenager that she had been horribly abused by her father, and what made it even more terrible is that different family members knew what was going on, but nobody spoke up for her, nobody protected her, and like happens with a lot of folks, when she became an adult, she was beginning to deal with the full enormity of this crime committed against her that she'd kind of blocked out all these years. And so as a young woman, she said she basically just vented her fury on her whole family. And she said it was so freeing for a while just to go to each member of her family, you failed me, you failed me, you failed me, and just to vent her fury. It was freeing in a sense, but then she said she had no peace. And then here she is, she's a Christian, so she's trying to come to grips with forgiveness and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, the Lord's Prayer says. And so she went to meet with this Christian counselor and she said, I don't know, I can't do it. I can't forgive. I cannot forgive my family. And the counselor said, you know, forgiveness, it's really more of a gift, don't you? I mean, it's really kind of a power that comes outside of you, through you, to extend to others. And she said it was a few months after she met with this counselor. It was December. And she says she wakes up one morning and she goes, I've forgiven them. She said it must have happened in her sleep. She woke up and she said, I had forgiven my family. She said I was free of the pain. And she said, I actually love them. And she says to Walter, her pastor, she says, you're looking at a miracle worker. I've just done a miracle. I've forgiven my family. And I have to tell you, it's not me. It's God through me. Now, let me add a little caveat here, because I've talked to a lot of folks about forgiveness. And for some people, it happens kind of like that, maybe for a smaller portion of people. And for other folks, it's this kind of daily, Lord, help me forgive today. Help me forgive today and help me forgive tomorrow. But I will tell you that it's a miracle because the power of Jesus works through you and helps you do what you never thought you could do. A power, get this, from outside of you, breathe into you that enables you to do what you never thought you could do. Now, I was reading a guy's name is Rankin Wilborn, the writer, a few weeks back, and he said something about this, and I wanted to share what he said, a little analogy from the world of comics. And I know this is going to be controversial, and I just apologize up front. But he was talking about the difference between Batman and Spider-Man. Now, let me just tell you up front, I'm a big Batman fan, lifelong Batman fan, and I have evidence to prove it. That's me right here. The little plastic mask, you know, that you start face starts sweating like 30 seconds after you put it on, little Batman cape. That's my little brother Clay, and you can't, because it's a photo, you can't hear it, but what I'm saying to him is, I am Batman. That's what I'm saying. And that's why he's so frightened. Kind of looks like the Joker a little bit. But so I'm telling you, I'm a lifelong Batman fan. So I hope I've established that. But here's what this guy Rankin Wilborn says. He says, Batman basically is a strong guy with a lot of cool gadgets. Batman, he's got, you know, the bat phone, which I guess is not that big a deal today that he carries a phone with him, but it was a big deal in 1968. And he's got the Batmobile, and then there's that Batcave, and he's got Alfred who's serving him. And if you grew up in my era, you remember he had this like little bat boomerang that he would throw up to the top of a building, and then he would kind of climb up the building. I mean, he's got all the cool tools. He's a strong guy with cool tools. But Spider-Man, on the other hand, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was bitten by a radioactive spider, and this power from outside of him has now come inside of him, and this external power is now in him, and now he's doing all these like new powerful things from inside himself, okay? When you woke up this morning, you didn't think you were going to hear anything about a radioactive spider bite when you came to church, did you? So think about that. In a sense, make the connection with me. In a sense, when it's kind of like Spider-Man, when Jesus breathes his Holy Spirit into us, when he says receive the Holy Spirit, there's a power coming from outside of us, enabling us to do things that we never dreamed we could do. And all that brings us to the final point. Don't you love it when you get to the final point? It's like, tray tables up, seat backs up, and you know, we can see it. We can look through the clouds. We can see we're going to land soon. We're going to land soon, I promise you. But the third thing that I wanted to say is that Jesus not only breathes his peace, he not only breathes his power, but he breathes his purpose into us. He breathes his purpose. Jesus has a purpose for you and for me. And I think this comes out so clearly in verse 21. I want you to see the purpose of Jesus for us. Again, Jesus says this twice. Sometimes we need to hear peace be with you more than once. And so for a second time, Jesus reassures the disciples of his peace. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Now, most of us, if we kind of grow up in church, we're really cool with this part. As the Father has sent me. We love this fact. We love Christmas and Bethlehem and Jesus coming to the world and Jesus, you know, traveling through Galilee and Jesus healing people and Jesus teaching, and we fully understand and celebrate the Father sending Jesus into the world. But this next part, what? As the Father has sent me, so I am now sending you into the world to continue my mission for the world? I mean, that's a little different, isn't it? That Jesus would have this purpose for us, and it would be the same kind of purpose that the Father had for him, to go out and to be a part of extending his kingdom in our world. You ever had this experience before? Maybe you're standing with a group of people on one side of the street, and there's a group of people on the other side of the street, and somebody that you're not exactly sure that you recognize or not looks kind of in your direction and waves. But you're not sure if they're waving at you or they're waving at that person or that person or that person. But yet they're like, it looks like they're looking right at you, and it looks like they're waving right at you. So what do you do? Show me what you do when you think but you're not positive somebody's waving at you. What do? Can I go? Right? But it's real tentative, right? It's like, You know, it's kind of like, oh, okay. Because you're not really sure. I had this experience Thursday night where there was a part in our Monday Thursday service that I just didn't read my notes that I was supposed to do. And so there's this little moment, and I'm kind of thinking, why isn't somebody walking up here? And John's at the piano. If you've ever gotten one of these looks from John, it's kind of like, it's like one of those, you know? And I'm on the front row going, yeah. And then he gets it again. You know, and so if you were here, I apologize during that segment. I'm not exactly sure what I said, but I'd gotten the nod. Well, I kind of feel like that when I read this passage. It's like, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And it's like, me? Jesus, are you don't really mean me. You know me. You know I can never do any of that stuff. But yet Jesus says, I have a new purpose for you. Now, friends, I think this is really revolutionary. When you think about just the world of religions and world religions, a lot of religions teach that the world is a lost cause. The world is this, you know, decaying place, and we need to flee from the world, and we need to just kind of hunker down in our own little souls and just worry about our own little souls. And the world is a difficult place and seems to get more difficult every day. But the Christian faith is not about abandoning the world. It's about continuing Christ's mission in the world. There's a Sri Lankan Christian, Vinod Ramachandra, I hope I'm saying his name right, and he says that what makes the Bible's view of salvation distinctive is that it's not an escape from the world, but a transformation of the world. He sends us out to share his love. He sends us out to share the good news of his resurrection. He breathes his power into us, and he sends us out to share the good news of his power with others. And so maybe you're wondering, when you walked in today, you got this little clear bag, right? Find that bag, and in that bag, we gave you some of these. Did everybody see these, right? Altoids. I love Altoids. Altoids are curiously strong peppermints. I love that. Now, let me just be really clear. We didn't do this because we heard a rumor about any of you or that you're close talkers. There was nothing about you or your breath or anything like that. That's not why we did this. But we thought, why not just hand these out and maybe just this next couple days, this next week, you kind of carry this with you, maybe in your pocket or your purse or maybe it's on a counter. And maybe when you see that, it's just a little reminder. It's just a little reminder that in Christ, Jesus breathes his curiously strong and powerful breath into our lives. And in the same way you might share a breath with others, in the same way we can share with others the love that Christ has shared with us. That's what this day is all about. This day is about the reversal of death. I mean, this day is about the reversal of fear. This day is about the reversal of guilt. This day is all about good news. This day is all about hope. Jesus conquered the grave, and we can conquer the grave with him. There's a pretty famous Christian. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tada. When she was a teenager, she had a terrible diving accident, shallow water. She was paralyzed pretty much from the neck down, a quadriplegic. And when people ask her today, she's a speaker and writer, people ask her, why are you a Christian? One of the answers that she gives, not the only one, but one of the answers she gives is she says, I'm a Christian because the Bible is the only religion that offers me a new spinal cord one day. The Bible promises that because of the resurrection, I will be resurrected too. The Bible says, I will dance again. In Revelation chapter 21, Jesus says, behold, I am making all things new. That's what he does. And so you walked in here today, maybe with a fearful heart. Jesus says, let me breathe on that heart. Let me breathe on you. And where there's fear, let me breathe my peace. Maybe you walked in here with a guilty heart. And Jesus says, I died for that. Let me breathe on you. Let me wash that guilt clean. Maybe you walked in here with a weak heart. And Jesus said, guess what? I do some of my best work with weakness. Because when you're weak, I can come in. When you acknowledge me, I'll come in and I'll be strong for you. I'm a power outside of you that comes and is strong for you. Maybe you walked in with a purposeless heart. You try to make life all about you, and the more you focus on you, the more miserable you've become. Doesn't make sense. But the more selfish you've been, the more miserable you've been. And Jesus says, no, I have a real purpose for you. And this purpose will not only help transform the world, but it'll give you deep joy. And it's all tied to the fact that Jesus is risen, and his risen breath, his risen spirit is alive in us. Friends, you didn't come here today to get good advice. You came here for good news, the news that changes everything. I love this story. And by the way, we put the tires up on the plane, and the tires are down. We're going to be landing soon. But I love this story from the World War II era. They're a group of American prisoners. They're in this prison camp guarded by German soldiers. And the Americans have somehow built a makeshift radio. The guards don't know about it. And so they actually were listening to this radio one day, and they found out that the German high command had surrendered and that the war was essentially over. But because of a communications breakdown, the guards didn't know it. And so essentially the soldiers had heard this amazing news that their captors didn't know yet. And so as the story goes, for 3 days, these soldiers, these prisoners were just, you could hardly recognize them. They sang at dinner. They waved at the guards. How you doing today, Helmut? You know, Dieter, how you doing? You know, and waved at the guards. They laughed. They waved at the German shepherds. They joked. They did this for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, they awoke and the guards had fled and left the gates unlocked. Isn't that amazing? Now, friends, think about this. You left when you came to church. You left your problems at home. And when you go back, your problems are probably still going to be there. But you have heard a news report from a makeshift radio. And the news tells you that Jesus is alive. He speaks his peace into us. He breathes his Holy Spirit into us. And one day, guess what? Our enemies will flee and leave the gates unlocked. But until that day, we have a mission because he is risen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we need to hear this good news today, Lord. You know everything. You know all about our hearts, Lord. And so you know the fear that weights us down, Lord. You know the guilt that weights us down. You know, Lord, how often we just feel trapped in our own weakness and inability. Lord, you know how sometimes our life just seems to go in circles. We don't go anywhere. We lack some kind of transcendent purpose. But the good news of this day is that you're alive, that you've given us the gift of your Holy Spirit, and that you breathe into our hearts, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. As the Father sends me, so I am sending you. Lord, breathe into our hearts in this moment and give us courage to do what we need to do next. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.